About 50 years ago, Dr. Alfred Tomatis was confronted with one of the most unique cases that he had ever seen in his career as a voice doctor. There was a famous opera singer who had mysteriously lost his ability to hit certain notes. He could sing all over the place, but there were certain notes that he could not hit anymore. Even though those notes were still within his octave range, he could still sing above and below them. He couldn't hit those notes. And he'd been to some other specialists, they all thought it was a vocal problem, you know, just give it a rest. But Dr. Tomatis thought otherwise. And so he used a machine, and he discovered that the opera singer, when he was going full throat, was producing 140 decibels of sound when they were singing. That's a little bit louder than a military jet taking off from an aircraft carrier. Now, obviously, that didn't last very far from him, but inside his head, that is the volume that he was producing. And so what Dr. Tomatis diagnosed was this: the opera singer had been partially deafened by the sound of his own voice. And because he couldn't hear the certain frequencies anymore, he could no longer sing those notes. In Dr. Tomatis's words, the voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. And so the French Academy of Medicine dubbed it the Tomatis effect, and the applications for this effect, this syndrome, go way beyond opera. And so here's a thought this morning that I want us to consider. All of us have problems, some of us more than others, but we all have problems. Relational problems, emotional problems, spiritual problems, financial problems, and we think that those problems are the problems. But I think sometimes the problems that we experience are actually the symptoms. I think they're symptoms of a root cause, a spiritual Tomatis effect, if you will, is that our ears have been deafened to the voice of God. And what has happened is the noises of the world have deafened us to God's voice. The noises of this world have deafened us to God's voice. Sometimes it's our own negativity, and God can't get a word in. Sometimes it's the criticism of others, and you've heard that voice so often for so long that you can't even believe anything else about yourself other than what the criticism has given you. Sometimes it's the voice of conformity, sometimes the voice of culture, and sometimes it's the voice of condemnation. You know, the Bible says that we have an enemy in our lives, and the scripture refers to him as the accuser. He's the father of lies. And if you listen to those lies from the enemy long enough, it will deafen you to the voice of God. And here's the thing. If you can't hear God's voice, you can't sing his song. And your life is going to be off key. If you can't hear God's voice, then you can't sing his song. And your life is going to be lived off key. That's why this is so important, Trilogy. Learning to identify the voice of God is the solution to 1,000 problems that you will face in this life. It's the key to discovering your identity and discovering your destiny. His voice is joy. His voice is wisdom. His voice is healing. His voice is peace. His voice is power. His voice is grace. His voice is truth. And so many of us, this is probably, you know, when I was a youth pastor, I used to keep a list every time a student would ask me a question and I'd like log them. And there were a few that rose to the top, you know, when you're a youth pastor and you get these questions from students all the time. And it just helped me as far as what topics I should be preaching on and how do I meet the needs and what they're really dealing with. And of course, the number one question most often, and I was a youth pastor in the early and mid 90s, the question I heard all the time was, how far is too far? You know, that's a question you get from students all the time when you're a youth pastor. The next question, how do I hear the voice of God? I'm telling you all the time, and it's kind of a tandem question, is how do I determine God's will for my life? How do I hear the voice of God? How do I determine God's will for my life? Are pretty much even. And here's what I figured out. That question never really goes away. You guys sitting here this morning are probably asking the same question. This is a question that we as church-going folk never really learn how to deal with. And God's voice is so important for us to reconcile. Here's the thing. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And those four words are still creating galaxies at the outer edge of the universe. That power that spoke it into existence isn't done. How did God do it? He did it with his voice. The universe is God's way of saying, look at what I can do with four words. And if God can do that with four words, what are we worried about in this life? If God's capable of that, why are we so stressed out? If he is our living hope, if he is our salvation, if he is our deliverer, if he is our empowerer, if he is our Lord and our God, and he did that, what are you worried about? The voice that spoke the universe into existence is the same voice that parted the Red Sea. He is the voice that told the sun to stand still. His voice can heal a withered arm, or it can wither a barren fig tree. His voice can turn water into wine. It can install synaptic connections between the optic nerve and the digital cortex of a blind man's brain. It can resurrect a man named Lazarus who had been dead for over 3 days. There's nothing that God's voice cannot say and cannot do. He can speak through a burning bush, and he can speak through Balaam's donkey. He can stop a storm on the Sea of Galilee with three words, peace, be still. And that's tough for us to comprehend, that a voice can have that kind of power, the power of God's voice. And here's why, because we use our voices for one thing, to communicate, to speak. That's pretty much it. Sometimes you can talk real loud. You can shout. Maybe we can use our voice in a beautiful way to sing, or for some of us, a not so beautiful way and sing. But we can use our voice in different ways. But really, that's about it. We're still communicating. And so when we think voice, we think phonics. But here's the thing. When we talk about God's voice, we're talking about physics, not phonics. Most people I know would say they've never heard the voice of God. And if you're talking about the audible voice of God between 20 hertz and 20,000 hertz, neither have I. I've never heard the audible voice of God. But God's voice isn't limited to our range of hearing. The reality is this. It's when you get outside the human range of hearing that sound waves begin to do some strange and mysterious things. What I want to contend this morning is that God's ability to speak is not limited to our ability to hear audibly. God's ability to speak is not limited to our ability to hear audibly. So can I tell you how God uses his voice? God uses his voice to create, to convict, to heal, to reveal, to guide, to grow. Here's what I know for sure. God is speaking. God is speaking. Here are the two questions you need to be asking yourself. Am I listening? And is he the loudest voice in my life? Am I listening, and is he the loudest voice in my life? And if he's not, that's the problem. And the solution is tuning in and turning up that still small voice that God chooses to communicate to us with. The series that we're going through called Whisper is based on a book by Mark Batterson called Whisper. And in that book, he talks about seven languages that God uses his voice to communicate in. Seven different ways that God communicates to us through his voice. And on another Sunday, we're going to talk about these seven languages that God will use to speak to us. But here's the thing about languages. Languages don't come instantly. Ken talked about that last week as far as his experience with language. They take some time to acquire. And I know this from experience because I was a Spanish major in college. I studied Spanish for a total of 11 years in school. And here's the thing, I still don't know it completely. Entiendo más o menos todo, pero es difícil expresarme completamente en español porque mi vocabulario es muy limitado. Okay? What I just said is I can understand more or less everything, but it's difficult to communicate completely in Spanish because my vocabulary is very limited. Okay? And so here's the thing, I still don't know it completely, even after 11 years of studying it in the classroom. Why? I'm going to tell you two reasons. Number one, languages take time, and languages take presence. Presence is huge when you're learning a language. I've never lived in a Spanish-speaking culture. I've never done it. I've visited, I've taken short-term missions trips, I have friends who speak Spanish primarily, but English dominates my thinking and my input stream. Guess what? As we're talking about God's voice, this culture does not resonate with God's voice. You might have missed that, but it's true. Our culture does not resonate with God's voice. So because of that, it's going to take time to learn these seven languages that God communicates in. And it's going to take more than that, more than time. It's going to take lots of time in his presence. It's going to take relationship. I know Melissa's voice. And I know her tone of voice. Husbands all know what I'm talking about. And I know the nonverbals, not just what she says, but the way she communicates even nonverbally as well. Because we've been married 20 years now. We celebrated 20 years this past week. And so we've been married a long time. I know her voice now in a way that I didn't know her voice the day we got married. That's for your viewing pleasure. She'd kill me. doesn't she look like she's 14? It's going to take time. It's going to take relationship, and that's what God wants. He wants our time, and he wants relationship with us. Prayer is the foundation of our relationship with God. Okay? We've talked about that before, how prayer is really that foundation. But prayer isn't just outlining our agenda to him. It's about getting into God's presence and God's work and God outlining his agenda to us. It's about listening to God. So which is more important in our prayer lives, talking to God or listening to God? You'd think with the amount of talking we do in prayer that it was the most important. But I would argue that listening is far more important with regard to prayer. It's what turns prayer from a monologue into a dialogue. It's what makes prayer the foundation for our relationship with him. And I want you to hear this morning, church. I need to hear what God has to say more than God needs to hear what I have to say. Can we agree on that? We need to hear what God has to say more than he needs to hear what we have to say. You know why? He already knows what you have to say. Now, he still wants us to do it. He still likes us to reach out. In fact, he's commanded us in Scripture to reach out and to pray and to ask and to keep on asking and to keep on seeking. So we should do that. But guys, prayer is not about God getting some revelation from you. Prayer is all about you getting revelation from him. For most of us, though, if we're honest, prayer is all about the talking. It's what we do. And we have to be intentional about leaving space if we're ever going to be able to hear from God. We have to leave space in our prayer times for us to hear from God. I have to discipline myself to shut up and to listen and to spend time quietly in his presence. As me and a few other leaders from Trilogy, we just made it a decision to fast on Thursdays. And to fast for our church and to fast for our community and just to seek God's direction and to hear from him. And let me tell you, as I do that and as I take that space and I take that time to just be with him, and I do spend a little time telling God what I want and where I think we should go and what I ask it, tell God what I need. Even now, it sounds weird, telling God what I think we need to do. It's ridiculous when you think about it. How much more valuable is that time when I'm separating myself from the normal routine of life, even from meals, and stepping away and just spending time with him, that I would just be with him and allow him to infuse his desires into me? Guys, that is listening for the voice of God in our lives. We need to plan that. We need to be intentional about that. Here's another challenge with regard to hearing God's voice. If you aren't willing to listen to everything God has to say, eventually you won't hear anything he has to say. We all know, we all have practiced at points in our lives selective hearing in our relationships. where we hear what we want to hear, we tune out the rest. And some of us try to do this with God. You want to hear his comforting voice, but we also have to listen to his convicting voice. And I think sometimes, let's be honest, we're afraid of what God's going to say to us. We're afraid what God is going to ask of us. And I think that's because we don't know God's heart. We fear God because we don't understand God and know God. These seven languages God communicates in, they're love languages. The Bible says God is love. And if it's not loving, and not the way our culture defines love, but biblically, if it's not loving, it's not God. Now, sometimes it's tough love. You know what? Sometimes it's the thing that I wanted to hear least that I needed to hear most. Sometimes it's the thing I wanted to hear least that I needed to hear most. Maybe you've been there. I know that's true in even parents, your relationship with your kids. The thing they wanted to hear least is probably the thing they needed to hear most in that moment. And a good parent will push through the, I want to be your best friend and I want you to like me, and they'll say it anyway. And God's not afraid to go there. And so sometimes it's tough love. But just like the opera singer in the story up front, I think some of us have lost our voice. We've lost our ability to impact the world around us for God because we no longer hear his voice. And I think finding your voice starts with hearing the voice of God. Finding your voice, finding your ability to make a difference in the lives of the people around you, to knowing how to share your faith and tell the story of how incredible God's love is and what he wants to do in their lives and his plan of redemption for their lives and how he wants to use them. Finding your voice to tell your story and what has God done in you and through you and how he's transformed you. Finding your voice starts with hearing the voice of God. And if you want people to listen to you, listen to God, because then you'll have something to say that's worth listening to. You know, the Lord said to Moses, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets. And I pray that God would give each and every one of us, no matter what sphere of influence you're in, that God would give you a prophetic voice. What I mean by that is 1 Corinthians 13, that it's for comforting and for encouraging and for strengthening. It's speaking God's truth and God's love into people's lives and circumstances. But it's words that are prompted by the Spirit of God himself and not just your own knowledge. And so I pray that God would give you a prophetic voice, but a prophetic voice starts with a prophetic ear. You need to hear the voice of God. Look at this passage of scripture. Let me set the scene for you. Elijah has failed, at least in his mind. The people of Israel aren't listening to him. Elijah was a prophet, and God used him to bring the truth of their reality to the forefront, to speak out against the things that they were doing wrong. And so he had completely failed. The people of Israel weren't listening to him. They're following Ahab and Jezebel and their false gods, and they have threatened to kill Elijah now. And so Elijah fled into the desert. He sat down under a tree and told God he wished he were dead. A side note here. This is one of the heroes of faith we just talked about in the last series we were in. We talked about Elijah, what an incredible man of God he was. So for all of you here this morning who have ever struggled with depression or self-worth issues or felt like a failure, you are not alone. In fact, one of the greatest men of God in the entire Bible, whom God used to accomplish more powerful and more numerous miracles than maybe anyone other than Jesus, he struggled with it as well. And God continued to use him. So don't ever let the enemy tell you that God can't ever use you, because he can and he will. In fact, an angel met him under that tree and fed him and refreshed him. He continued his journey then, and he hid in a cave and cried out to God. God told him he would meet with him, and that's where we find ourselves here in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. This is a very bad climate day, okay, that he's dealing with here. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A gentle whisper is what the writer of 1 Kings describes it as. The ESV calls it a low whisper. The NASB translated as a gentle blowing. And the King James, a still small voice. By definition, a whisper is speaking using one's breath instead of one's vocal cords. That's a whisper. And the theological significance of that is pretty profound. You see, God breathed into the dust and formed Adam. In other words, Adam was once a whisper. So were you. So was everything else. We were once a whisper from the breath of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God, what? Breathed. Listen, church, the Bible is God whispering to you. Now hold that thought. We'll come back to that. On the morning of August 27th, 1883, ranchers in Alice Springs, Australia, heard what sounded like gunshots, loud gunshots. And that same mysterious sound was reported in 50 geographic locations spanning 1/13th of the planet. And what they heard was the eruption of a volcano. On the Indonesian island of Krakatoa, over 2,200 miles away from those ranchers in Australia. That volcanic eruption, possibly the loudest sound that has ever been measured, sent sound waves measuring 310 decibels all the way around the globe four times. It generated 3,000-foot tidal waves. It threw rocks a distance of 34 miles. And it cracked one-foot-thick concrete 300 miles away. That's the power of a sound wave. If sound exceeds 110 decibels, we experience a change in our blood pressure. Our worship on Sunday mornings here is right around 90 decibels. That's what, depending if you sit in the front or the back. It's a few less back by Paula there. But about 90 decibels is what you get in our worship, just to give you an idea. And the reality is, for every 10 decibels that it goes up, it's a perceived doubling of volume. So the difference between 90 and 100 decibels is a doubling of volume. 100 to 110 doubles again. Okay? And so at 110 decibels, we experience a change in blood pressure. At 141 decibels, we start to get nauseous. Okay? It causes us to feel sick. At 145 decibels, our vision blurs because our eyeballs vibrate at that frequency. That's not fun, I can imagine. At 195 decibels, our eardrums are in danger of rupturing, and death by sound wave can happen at 202 decibels. And on the opposite end of that sound spectrum, just above the absolute threshold of hearing, is a whisper measuring about 15 decibels. Now listen to this, because this is cool. If you were to drill a hole straight through the ground from Krakatoa and come out the other side of the planet, you'd find Colombia in South America. The sound of the eruption was not heard there. But get this, there was a measurable spike in atmospheric pressure there because infrasonic sound waves generated by the eruption caused the air to tense up there. The sound was not heard in Colombia, but it was felt. Just because you can't hear a sound doesn't mean it isn't there. God is speaking. Some of you just aren't aware of it yet. But I'm willing to bet that you felt it. Maybe God has spoken peace into your life and you felt that peace, that calming that the Bible describes as peace that goes beyond our own understanding. Maybe there's been a worship time where you just got those goosebumps on your arms and you just exploded into God's presence and you felt something that goes beyond yourself and even the song that you were singing because God is speaking into you. Maybe there was a boldness that God gave you and a courage that he gave you that defied the circumstances that you were in at that point. God is speaking into your life and you may not even realize it. So let's jump back to 1 Kings 19. We tend to dismiss these natural phenomena that come before the whisper. You know, there was the violent wind, and there was the earthquake, and there was the fire, and we just kind of like, okay, but here's the gentle whisper. That's what really is the important part. And we think of it as insignificant because it says God was not in them. But I bet they got Elijah's attention, didn't they? I bet that he paid attention when the wind nearly ripped him off the side of the mountain, when he couldn't stand because of the earthquake, and when the fire swept on through. I don't know what he did. He's standing there with fully exposed. There's nowhere to hide. So obviously, those three got his attention. Here's the thing. God has an outside voice, too, and he's not afraid to use it. But when God wants to be heard, when what he has to say is too important to miss, he often speaks in a whisper. And the questions we have are why and how and when and where. And I can't answer all those questions in the message today because we're almost out of time. But let me take a stab at why. When someone speaks in a whisper, especially in a loud environment, what do you have to do to hear them? You shut off the noise around you, pay attention, you lean in. You have to get pretty close to hear them, don't you? In fact, you have to put your ear right next to their mouth. We lean into a whisper, and that's exactly what God wants from you and from me. We think that the goal of hearing God's voice is hearing God's voice. Guys, that's not God's goal. God's goal is intimacy with you. And so he speaks in a whisper. So we have to get really close to hear him. What God wants is for us to be so close to him that we don't just hear his voice, we hear his heart. Aren't you grateful for a gentle God? He could intimidate us with his outside voice, but he woos us with a whisper, and his whisper is the breath of life. In the fall of 1992, I felt God whispering to me. I didn't know what about. God was just stirring something, and I knew he was speaking, and I couldn't discern it. I couldn't make it out. I just knew he was trying to get my attention. So I leaned in. I cupped my ears to get rid of the sound going on around me and just listen to God, spiritually speaking, not physically. I didn't walk around like that. And it seemed really significant, like everything was about to change in my life, and it was. So I leaned in more, and instead of just praying, I spent over a week fasting, leaning close, shutting out all distraction, cupping my hands over my spiritual ears to drown out all the competing voices, and giving my attention solely to God. About 10 days later, I was walking on the quad at the University of Illinois late one night, and I knew I wasn't supposed to be an orthodontist. God wanted me in vocational ministry. I was going to be a pastor. And I didn't hear God the way I hear my kids call my name. But I heard him nonetheless. I knew. I felt his voice. And that whisper changed the direction of my life. And so my first youth ministry, Crossfire, was once a whisper. Trilogy, the church we're a part of today, was once a whisper. Every prayer service that we do, every baptism, every foster family who gets diapers and clothes from our orphan care closet, every one of those things was once a whisper from God. The voice of God, his whisper, is life. It's the life he wants for us. And some of you are feeling that life has no meaning. You're going through the motions. You're aimless. Everything is mundane. I want to challenge you, church. Lean into God. Hear his voice. Drown out the distractions of the world with the voice of God. And I promise you, the voice of God will open the door to a life like you've never experienced before. So let me share one thought with you this morning, one challenge as we wrap up. Do you remember the definition of a whisper? It's speaking using one's breath rather than one's vocal cord. And as we get ready to close and Luke comes back up to join me, according to Jewish tradition, the name for God, Yahweh, was too sacred to pronounce. They never pronounced the name of God. But there's another tradition in Jewish culture, within Judaism, that believes that the name for God, Yahweh, without the vowels in it, is synonymous with the sound of breathing. It's a breath. So on one hand, the name was too sacred to pronounce. On the other hand, it's whispered with each and every breath you take. It's the name of God. It was your first word that you ever took. And it will be your last word. It's every word in between 23,000 times per day as you inhale and exhale. We're breathing the name of God. Acts 17:28 says, in him we live and move and exist. Everything that we have and experience and are is through him. He is the source. May he breathe on you. May he do what he did in the valley of dry bones. He breathed into those bones and they came to life. Some of you, your life has no life right now. Your spiritual story is dry and it needs renewal. And the answer lies in the voice of God. So I'm so excited to talk about this for the next few weeks. Here's my challenge for all of us as we close this morning. In 1 Samuel 3, there's a six-word prayer that I believe can change your life. There was a woman named Hannah who could not have a child, and she begged God for a kid, and God gave her five children. But her first child, a boy named Samuel, she gave back to the Lord. He essentially was raised in the temple. In fact, I love how the Bible describes Samuel. And it's my prayer for all the families here at Trilogy, for all of us who have kids. I think about it when we dedicate children to the Lord, because it says that he grew up in the presence of God. I want that to be said of my kids. They grew up in the presence of God. Pray that over them. It says he grew in favor with God and with people, and also says that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. Well, one night the Lord spoke to Samuel, but Samuel had not yet learned to really understand the voice of God, and God spoke to him, and he mistook the voice of God for the voice of Eli, who was the prophet that he was serving at that point in time. And so he went in to ask him what he wanted. He's like, yes, Eli? He says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he went back and he laid down. Three times this happened. He continued to go in and ask him what he wanted. I wonder, do we do the exact same thing? You see, God is speaking through desires and dreams and doors and people in promptings and in pain, but we mistake it for something else or we ignore it altogether. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. Other translations say he had not yet learned to discern the voice of God. And this is where so many of us kind of settle in spiritually. We settle for a substitute instead of God's voice. And I hope that the messages that we preach here at Trilogy are a catalyst in your spiritual story. I hope that they motivate you and encourage you and instigate change in your life. That they feed you spiritually, that they stretch you. But if you rely upon us to hear from God, you're missing it. That's spiritual codependency. We are not your source. God is your source. You can hear God's voice. He wants to speak to you. He is speaking to you. Regarding Samuel, this happened three times, and finally, the wise old Eli finally figured out what was going on. He knew God was trying to get Samuel's attention, and so Eli gives a piece of advice that changes Samuel's life. He said, go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say this. Here it is, a six-word prayer. I believe it can change your life. 1 Samuel 3:9, so he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. God speaks. Samuel hears the voice of God for the first time, and it ends with this fascinating descriptor of him. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. How incredible is that? In other words, God gave Samuel a prophetic voice, but it started with a prophetic ear. And as we end this message and begin this series, can I challenge you to pray that six-word prayer? Can I challenge you to make that a regular part of your time with Jesus? So simple, but if you mean that, and then after you pray it, you're quiet for a while, and you just immerse yourself in the presence of God, it's going to change the game. Take time every day this week to stop your day, to get away, to quiet yourself, and literally pray this prayer. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then wait. You may not hear anything. It takes time. But what you're doing is cultivating a listening ear to God. And God's voice will shape you. That is my prayer for every one of us, that we would hear, be shaped by, and respond to the voice of God. Let's pray together. Praise. God, every one of us is in a little different place in our spiritual journey. But I thank you that you are a God who's big enough, who knows each one of us by name, who knows the number of hairs on our head, who loves us, cares for us, and you're a God who speaks to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn to discern your voice. Help us to spend time in your presence, listening. That all of our time wouldn't be just telling you how we feel. But God, we are desperate to know what you have for us. We're desperate to know what you want for us. So Lord, would you speak? And would you help us to develop the ear to hear? As we go through the next few weeks and we learn some more about how you speak and how we listen and what it means and how do we respond and all that stuff, God, I pray that you would change the direction of our lives. Give us a prophetic voice into the world around us. Help us to make a difference in people's lives.